And I want to kind of preface it with, I have in my hands here this Bible. This was given to me in 1980 by a man. I was from a church I was attending at the time. I was just, 1980, I was in my early 20s. And he gave me this Bible, and it was in a very dark time in my own life. There was just a lot of things happening that were negative, and pushback, and people just being very critical, judgmental, and all kinds of stuff. But he gave me this Bible, and he gave me a verse in this Bible that has become very, very meaningful to me over the years. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, it says this: "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every voice that shall rise up against you, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Right? God is working behind the scenes and all these things, and sometimes we just got to step back and just let it happen, because God in the end is going to make it all work out right. And I would honestly say he has. But he just passed away. This fellow Don just passed away a few weeks back. And I was reminded. I was reminded of that verse and that challenge he gave me. And Don's life himself, he was such an example. Don was one of these people that, people might call him an oddball. He never had a good job. Always seemed to be, you always hear people saying, "Oh, did you see the shirt he's wearing today?" And that kind of thing, and just stupid stuff. But Don, every time he had a chance, he was talking about Jesus. That guy led more people to Jesus Christ than I can think of. It's just amazing what he did, and it kind of prompted me when he passed away. I lost one of my most faithful prayer warriors when it comes to our work in Haiti. But it reminded me of all that mission work and the challenge, the Great Commission, all these things. It reminded me again of just how important it is. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we have that classic passage. We all know it, right? Where Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or make disciples of all people, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Right? Now, it's interesting. He says, "Go ye therefore." Well, in Scripture, anytime you see a therefore, you need to go back and see what the therefore is there for. Why? Well, Jesus had just uttered those words in the verse previous. He says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me." Jesus said that. So that kind of makes that next verse where he's challenging the disciples to go out and do something, makes it a little more important. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, of course, we know that verse as well. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel. Gospel. Well, just what is that gospel? How seriously do we take these words? The challenge, the Great Commission. In Acts 1:8, we find these words where the author Luke, he says, "And after that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses," right? "In Jerusalem, and both in Jerusalem and Judea, and to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Right? That's a pretty strong verse when you think about it. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 really puts an emphasis on it, just how important it is. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved." Right? That makes it a little stronger. Right? So we see the emphasis is on this thing, the importance of the gospel, the Great Commission. Well, what about that? Take it a step further. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. But you know, and I like that because he says, you know, well, I'll kind of get this in there. You read some of the versions, it leaves out those two words, the gospel of Christ. It leaves out those two words. Some versions do that. Not that it takes away from the immediate context of everything, but the point is I saw that and I said, where'd it go? Because I was looking at all these other versions and things. I said, it's not there, but it is. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I like that because it makes it exclusive, those two words. There's a lot of other gospels out there. Sometimes I think we've got, where I work, sometimes I think we've got some guys that are really just, they must be Hindus, and they've come back as sloths because they don't work very good. You know? They're lazy, they're slow, or whatever. But enough of that. I mean, you get the point. The gospel of Christ is so important when it comes to that. And I want to read just a little bit further because something comes out there that we miss unless you read through the whole context, right? He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he goes on and he says this. Let me get my glass out. I apologize, but most of you know my vision problems. Verse 16, right? Verse 17, it says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is the gospel that reveals, all right, reveals the righteousness of God. And it's the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Right? And it goes on. But verse 20 is where I want to run to real quick here. It says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's pretty strong when you really want to bring it down to it. And I thought about that for a second. The things that have been created display or cause us, say, in other words, we don't have any, all you have to do is look around you and you realize that you're without excuse. There's something far bigger, far greater than us, just as human beings here. And Jesus, right? His coming to earth, right, to be the example, to bring God to man so that we can understand, having seen him, we can understand who God is in our behalf. But there's an Old Testament illustration that really brings that clear. And David, he understood that very, very clearly. In Psalm 19, how do you see this? Well, David, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth forth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language that their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Right? And it goes on from there. And then you read down just a little further, and he switches gears. In other words, David was sitting there, and he was seeing this display and understanding. All this stuff works. It's on a time sequence. It's a clock. The Bible says, you know, springtime and harvest, none of these things. Nothing is going to pass away until God's work is finished. It's going to be. So we have that. We know that. It's there. But David goes on to say then in Psalm 19, verse 7, I believe it is. And then he switches gears and he says, because I see this, I know something. He says, I know. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And it goes on from there. And you read this and it goes on to say, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is a great reward. Oh, we know that. So there's something about this awesome power of God, the Word of God, and these principles that we've been given. That's why it's so important that we follow through on this great commission. It's not just for us. It's for all of them. They got to know about it. What I like about that Psalm 19 is when it's all said and done, you come down to Psalm 19, you look at that last verse, I believe it's 14. Right? David says, because he's so taken by the majesty of God, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, that's pretty powerful. As I was looking at it again, I said, man, that's something. But now let's bring this up a little more into our speed. We have this thing, the creation, the world, and all these things. God is, we know that God's behind it, and it's a visible display of who he is and his character, his majesty, whatever. John chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Oh, here's the verse. In him, we're talking about Jesus Christ now, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light of men. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 8, verse 12, I believe it is, Jesus was talking to the people, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Basically, it's basically the same thing. He is the light of life. John chapter 9, verse 5, he says it again. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, this business of light, well, it's kind of interesting because when you think about it, what is it that we know about light? Right. Light is I wouldn't profess to be any kind of a scientist or super intellect at all. And I'm sure there are people here who could probably come up with many very, profound discussions on light. But I'm a dummy. I probably wouldn't understand most of it anyway. But light, what do we know about light? You realize nothing would survive without light. When you really think about it. Why? Because light is energy. Light is heat. Light is nourishment, right? It's a catalyst to a lot of things. Plant life. You don't have the process of photosynthesis in your plants without light, right? And so on and so forth. Intellectually speaking, light brings clarity of thought. Light. Right, brings illumination. Light also serves as it's an enhancer. It's an exposer, right? What does light do? I mean, if you don't have light in front of you on a dark night in a path, you're going to trip and fall, right? So it shows this way. It's a guide. Light is a warning. So many things that light is. But then we find, I want to read something to you, John chapter 3, and we know that verse in John 3:16, all of us know that verse, but just read down a little bit further, and you find this, right? We'll start from 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the condemnation, it says, right? Wow. That light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Wow. That really puts a strong emphasis on this whole thing. Jesus Christ being light, the light of life. And I thought about that for a second. I step back and say, how can I bring this down to maybe something simple as one word? Jesus Christ brings purpose. He brings purpose. He brings purpose into a man's life. When a man comes to understand, after he's been exposed to the light of life, and he takes that and makes it his own, there's something different. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we go on from there. I'm going to just kind of flip over to that as well. But will you continue reading down there? I'm not going to go into reading the whole thing. But you read from 5:17, And you read all the way down through chapter 6, and go down chapter 6 down through 1 through 14, you find out just how important that light really is. And I'll just read one verse. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, here we go. 2 Corinthians, I lost my bookmark, uh-oh. Here we are. If you go down to the 14th verse of that chapter 6, and this is where it says, it talks about, chapter 6 begins, it says, as workers together with him, we beseech you, receive not the grace of God in vain, right? For he saith, the time has come, the accepted time has come, the day of salvation is here, behold, right? Now have I accepted, is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And it goes on down from there, and you read all these situations that are involved with in life and how we are to respond to that in the light. And then it goes on to verse 14, it says there, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with righteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? Right? That's pretty blunt. Pretty blunt. But I thought about those things, and I said, wow, it is a very important thing for us to take seriously the gospel of Christ. And I'll close up with this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul is instructing young Timothy, and he says this. He says, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, that's really putting a very serious note on the gospel when you think about it. Because it's kind of implying in those verses that, hey, we've got a job to do, and we've got to be consistent about it. But by the same token, it ain't going to be easy. It's just not going to be easy. And sometimes that's where most of us just, we throw in a towel. We close our mouths. We don't do anything. We give to Christian causes, but we don't do anything ourselves. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you all know people like that. I'm very thankful for this church because of the emphasis that it puts on missions and for the character that I see that comes in and out of this church and that's in this church. I'm encouraged by the participation that I see in the gospel from within these four walls. It's wonderful. It's a good thing. And I'm saying that to encourage you. Keep on keeping on, because that's what it's all about. Well, we go on, and I would close up with this. It's interesting when Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said those verses, there's something that he says just a chapter later that I never heard before. The preacher I was listening to said something. I said, I never saw that. I would have never known that unless he explained it. But when Paul was telling Timothy these things, be strong as a good soldier and so on and so forth, if you just went over one more page in Scripture to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you find these verses here, go down to, well, we're going to look at 16, but going back to verse 14, he says this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom they have that has learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ. Then it goes into that verse that we all know so well, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, right, and profitable Right, for doctrine, for reproof, for for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But you know, what I didn't know, when Paul was saying to Timothy, you have known the scriptures as a child, you know what that word actually means, as a child? In Jewish culture, even to this day, from what I understand, when a woman becomes pregnant with a child, they begin to just read the scripture with the thought that that baby in the womb is hearing those words, even in the womb. That's what it's meaning. And then, of course, when a child is born, they're still hearing it. But it's going back to that point where even pre-birth, Timothy was hearing these words, if that be accurate. That's an amazing thought. And of course, Timothy, you know his story. His mother was a believer, his father was not. So he kind of has almost a combination of things that are very, very common right in our own culture today. One is saved, the other is lost. And of course, he was mentored by Paul, just as many of you. I know myself, there were some men in my life that I'm so glad I had a chance to say thank you to them before they passed away and went home to be with glory. Because there were some men out there who were just so instrumental in helping me when I was young. But the gospel is so important. How seriously do we take those words? Well, for me, I want to take it seriously. That's why we go to Haiti. That's why we're doing what we do. I think about just some of the things that, you know, going way back, even before going involved in Haiti. And we mentioned before how the very creation of the world and everything that's in it points us to who God really is. I can remember one time as a camp counselor taking a group of guys up on top of a mountain in the White Mountains of up in New Hampshire, and the sun was setting down, and I set those kids down around the campfire, and I just started quoting scripture to them. And then I ended up with that Psalm 19. And one fella on the side there, as he watched the sun settle over there, he burst out in the middle of everything. He says, I got it, I see it. It's incredible. And he finally understood. And it was then, and only after that then, we're able to sit down with him and lead him to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, because he finally understood, man, this is so much bigger than me. I leave you with those thoughts. I hope they're a challenge to you. But you know, when we think about the Great Commission, what Jesus instructed his disciples to do, sometimes it stops with the fact that we read it and we say, oh, isn't that nice? And yep, well, we'll do our part, but then that's where it stops. Meaning our part is, we're just getting by. But when you invest and you make it a commitment of life to say, this is going to be first and foremost, this is something that I want to be able to use the gospel in my place of work. I want to be able to use the gospel at the lunch counter. I want to be able to use the gospel in the ShopRite. You know, think about it. We've lost the art of handing out gospel tracts, right? How many remember those days when we used to give out gospel tracts? Yeah, I see some hands. Yeah, it's kind of gone by. Yeah, everything's now on a tablet and a phone, and you know, I understand that. You know, but even something as simple as that, you never know. I know for me, everybody does their bills online today, I know that. And probably, you're saving money. I still put a stamp on mine and I put a track in it. I don't know who's going to read it. It may just get thrown away, but I still do it anyway. Why? If they don't appreciate it, I get the benefit just knowing that I did something that I know I'm thinking about somebody else. It's a mindset. I challenge you that way. In all things, commending ourselves, right, as the ministers of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age.